Hi, I'm Gianna Volpe, and thank you for listening to The Heart of the East End on 88.3 WLIW-FM, the show where we get to the heart of any matter at hand with folks from all walks of life on Long Island's only local NPR radio station. We stream online at wliw.org/radio and welcome your comments, questions, and collaborations of all kinds on The Heart of the East End. Celebrating 500 editions of The Heart of the East End here on Long Island's only local NPR radio station, WLIW-FM, 88.3 on the FM dial, WLIW.org/radio. It is the Hot Studio segment. We do Art Talk every Tuesday mornings at 9. We have three folks from Guildhall on the line with us. The education leader at Guildhall, Anthony Madonna, Ryan Campbell. There is there's a play being shown this Saturday. So not only do we have the playwright or its artist in residence, Ryan Campbell, but also the actor, Ariana Venturi. So she's going to be doing so this is a reading of your play, Ryan?
Yeah, that's right. We've recorded a reading of the entire piece. It's a one-act play.
So it's a one-act play. We just put this together yesterday, this conversation. Okay, so how did you get to know the Guildhall folks? Tell us a little bit more about you, Ryan.
Sure, yeah. So I'm a playwright, and so Guildhall does this artist-in-residency program. Anthony could probably talk more about that in the particulars, but it's been going on for a few years. And they have an application process, and I applied before the pandemic. This residency was meant to begin last April, and of course we delayed it.
Oh, okay. All right, So I guess, yeah, at this point, let's have Anthony Madonna step in for a second. It's been since I've seen you, since we first met. You had just come into Guildhall, right? Isn't that right, Anthony?
That's correct. Yeah, I think we met my first summer at Guildhall.
That's unbelievable. Can you believe it? So how long has it been now?
I'm entering my third year here at Guildhall, and the past year, as you were saying, has been quite a whirlwind, but I think everyone knows we've kind of been at like the front edge of how to transform our programs, bringing them outside, bringing them to the virtual platform, and the same goes for our residency. We paused it for a full year. Ryan was supposed to be here in 2020, and we had the hope that we would have all the residents come in person in 2021, but all the residents started in February, and at that point we realized that it wasn't safe for the artists to travel out yet. So we worked remotely. We had three residents in the past 2 months. Ryan is our last one of this cohort, and we met with them weekly via Zoom to learn about their process. We provided them resources and time and an large stipend so that they really focus on their craft, as well as mentorship from our Academy of the Arts. So it's been a really great 6 weeks of just learning from Ryan and seeing how he's progressed everything we've given him and his time.
Can you talk about what was it that attracted Guildhall to Ryan Campbell? What was it that made him stand out as an incoming artist in residence?
Sure. I think if you join us on Saturday night, you'll all see what our attraction was. But the way that he uses language, he creates a really vivid description but allows the reader or the listener to experience sort of a world of their own. It's not something that's fully grounded, and Ryan, you can speak better about your work than I can. It's not something that's like fully grounded in reality, but there's this sort of liminal zone that you're in, and it really allows you to make a lot of connections. So that's what attracted us to the writing. But to Ryan in general, his like love or curiosity for process and allowing time to direct how his work develops was something that we were really interested in, especially for this Deathly Witches process.
Ryan, do you mind building on that a bit and just talking about your process as a writer and about that idea of allowing time to sort of direct where your what your work becomes?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so yeah, what's been so great about the residency, because the pandemic, I think, has thrown a lot of artists into sort of like a creative turmoil. I've read interviews with other artists who have said, you know, like, we've had a hard time creating recently. Mm-hmm. And the residency is sort of, you know, because it's been a lot of unstructured time in a lot of people's lives.
And which seems like off the bat and off the nose and from an artist's perspective, that it seems like a very rich soil. I'll say that because, especially because of the serious context of what's going on, there's also a lot of pressure about what is created during this space or in this time. I don't know if that's
absolutely. Oh, no, that makes absolutely. I mean, there's so many things happening in the world that are of such serious import, and you want to rise to that, you know, and there's a lot of pressure associated with that, and or there can be. And so I think, you know, but my experience has been, when it comes to process, is that, like, with so much that's been going on in the world, you want to have a sense of control in some way or other. And like, that desire really gets in the way of a creative process. Like, it's very counterintuitive. I found that, like, whenever I try to control what my plays are about and, like, what their stories are, that it never works. Right. And that I have to find a way to get into a place of trust and surrender. And that's where at least the first drafts of plays come from. And what's been so great about the residency is that, like, even though it's been virtual, it's created a space where I've been able to feel comfortable with Anthony, with Ari, with other collaborators, and to, like, sit down and be like, okay, you can let go of some of your impulses of control and process, and just not worry for a few weeks and see what might emerge. And so this is, like, the first play that I've written in a very long time, certainly since the pandemic began, because, you know, like I said, I'm in Central Texas right now. I'm a little far away, but even through space and through Zoom and text and email, we've been able to create a new piece.
That's really exciting. All right. So this is coming this Saturday to Guildhall. I want to find out more, but first we're going to sail to the moon with Radiohead's Hail to the Thief record here on the Hot Studio segment on the Heart of the East End, Long Island's only local NPR radio station, joined by Anthony Madonna, Ryan Campbell, and Ariana Venturi. We'll hear more in just a few moments. I'm Gianna Volpe, and you, whoever you are out there, you're awesome. You're listening to WLIWFM NPR.
Thank you.
Coming back down to Earth after sailing to the moon with Riverhead too. If you're listening and you're listening from Riverhead, we are on the line with Anthony Madonna, Ryan Campbell, and oh gosh, Ariana Venturi. I apologize. The only reason I keep messing up is because I didn't know if you'd be joining us this morning. So I'm reconfiguring. So this Saturday, I understand Jeff Cohen's Squeaky, directed by Bob Balaban, will also be, I guess that's probably streaming. Is that just on the Guildhall website, Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Squeaky is a rolling stream from last weekend's premiere.
How was it? Have you seen it?
Yes, I did see it. It's truly worth audiences going onto the website and getting the stream. If you've ever taken care of a loved one or a parent, you'll truly relate.
Okay. And so now, also this Saturday, so is it at 7 p.m.? What time does this get started? And is this in person, Ryan's showcase?
So no, Ryan's showcase is a pre-recorded performance. It will stream as a YouTube premiere on Saturday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
But we had a really great privilege of inviting Ariana to Guildhall last week to film the play on the Don Drew Theater stage.
Cool. All right. So a little in-person action here. So before we turn to you and find out about your experience, I want to know a little bit more about the play itself from Ryan, if you don't mind sharing.
For sure, yeah. So the play is called Speed Kills in the Slaughter West, and it's a one-act play for one voice. It's a monologue play. And the play starts with the main character, who's performed by Ari, telling the audience that the cathedral was on fire. I started the fire. And it sort of goes from there. The play is about memory, about making meaning out of memory and the chaos of trying to understand one's own life. It's like we're constantly changing our relationship to our memories and the events of our lives, and our understanding of those things is constantly changing. And the play is about navigating through all of that. It's dramatic, I think, intense, with what I hope is a dark, absurdist sense of humor underpinning it, which I think describes most of my writing, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that moment just to start off. So I guess this is a good moment to turn to Ariana Venturi. You're doing this reading solo. Can you talk about, I don't know, what attracted you to the work, you know, what it was like to perform this?
Well, I guess, first of all, Ryan and I have been great friends and collaborators since grad school, so we've known each other for a long time, and it's just one of those things, whenever he asks me to do anything, I'm like, yes, please. So he, God, Ryan, when did you contact me? Like 2 weeks ago?
Like two or three weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys have been working together for a bit. So before you even talk about the work, please let's talk a little bit about, you know, your working relationship, where you went to grad school, and, you know, your attraction, I guess, to his work as it began.
Well, we went to Yale Drama, and the program there, you know, there's this actors, playwrights, directors, stage managers, theater managers, designers, and you're all working together all the time, especially the actors, directors, and writers. So you forge these really, really strong relationships. And Ryan and we found ourselves kind of put in a little group our first year for this big project there where you collaborate for the first time, called Drama 50s. And then the Yale Cabaret is kind of the independently produced student theater, grad school students there, and I think we put on two shows through the cabaret, but we were just always kind of circling around each other, and we became great friends.
Right.
And I think his work, there's something so immediate about the way the characters speak to each other that seems very kind of casual and everyday, but there is this pulsing kind of undertone always, whether it's a comedy or a drama. There's you know that the casual nature of the way they speak belies something much more profound, and that way, as an actor, it's so immediate and fresh when you're speaking it. But there, even a play like this, it's about memory, where I know that as the reader, as Ren, the protagonist in this, in Speed Kills in the Slaughter West, she is speaking about things that have happened in her life. There's this immediacy and urgency and presence as she re-experiences them as well. It's not just reflective.
The air of actor. I liked what you talked about, you know, the casual nature of the words, but the air of significance behind them. That's the mark of a great writer. And I wanted to explore a little bit about the importance of comfort and trust in creating a great work on stage, especially for you as an actor. How great has it been to have a writer / director that you can trust and feel comfortable with to basically to collaborate and make the work come into its own? And then Ryan, I'd ask you the same question.
It's the best.
Go ahead, Ariana.
Particularly great, I'll just say, because after a year or more of not being able to perform on stage, and we've all kind of done these little Zoom things, and we've done what we can to survive as artists this past year. But when it became an option that I could actually go to Guildhall and do it, even though unfortunately Ryan couldn't physically be there, I mean, it was just such a beautiful, profound thing to step onto a stage again for the first time, and to be doing it with a new play by Ryan. It just felt really right, and kind of
kind of ceremonious in this way that theater can feel.
Talk about, like, it's amazing because with this Zoom generation thing we got going on here, it really, you know, it's talk about transportations through space, but this takes it to another level, really. Ryan, let's return to that question that I just asked Ariana to explore a little bit and talk about what the experience has been like for you, especially with your work and seeing it come to life with your friend and longtime collaborator developing this work. Did you see it go in places that you talked about it a bit, about the surrender and about allowing things to the story and the work to grow into itself through another. But if you don't mind speaking a little more about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, the process has been really fulfilling and really amazing. And like we were talking about earlier, the sense of trust that you need, especially in a first draft, because what's happening is you're just exploring and playing and taking risks. And so, like, when I wrote this is a first draft. And when I was writing it at the beginning, all I knew was the title and the first line and the fact that I was like, oh, she's experienced all her memories at once. That's all I knew. And so as I developed it, actually, I was able to take a risk with the process. I was sending pages to Ari and Anthony every day as I was writing it, which I've never done before. I think some writers are very superstitious about their first drafts. They don't want to share anything until it's done. And I used to be like that too, but I thought in this residency, I'll take a chance and try a different way. And so when I got to the end of the play, which I hope is really moving, and the last images of the play, I'm like very confident it'll survive rewrite. I had no idea the character was going to say the things that she ended up saying until she said them. And so to have that kind of experience, to create a first draft, I think is really rare. And like Guildhall created the circumstances for that. And then on the day of making it, I mean, Ari can talk about it a little bit more as well, but like last Friday I zoomed in and we got to have the experience that is, I mean, it was mediated through Zoom and I wasn't there in person, but we still got to have a version of the experience of creation where she would read a scene and then we would talk about it and we'd read it again, which is how you make theater. And to have that experience the first time in more than a year, I'd be very totally buzzing afterwards. It was really great to be able to do that.
Can you return to what you just said? You talked about the final lines of the play. You said you didn't know she would be saying them until she said them. Was that because, she was helping create the end?
Oh, no, I mean, I'm talking, I mean the character speaking, yeah. What Ari brings to it when we workshop it and perform it for the first time is very much like she inhabits the character in a way that we can see if it's working or not. And it seems like it really does. But yeah, when I said that I didn't know what the character was going to say, what I meant is that like as I was writing, I had no plan for the ending. It was just going to emerge as the play emerged.
Ari, can you talk a little bit more about the ending and how it came to life?
I think there's, like I said before, there's just this sense in all of the writing, and it goes along with Ryan's whole process, that even though these things have happened to Ren in her past, she's kind of discovering them in the moment. So it's not like, oh, I went to the grocery store yesterday. There's this sense of like, oh, I did that. I'm seeing it in a new light now that it is a memory and it lives with all these other memories, if that makes sense. I know it's a little cerebral for 9:30 a.m.
Hey, I'm into it.
So I think there's just a freshness, and there's, even though it's the end of the play, this character is still discovering new things. If that kind of makes sense. Ryan, does that help?
Yeah, I mean, like, hopefully the hope for the effect at the end of the play is that the audience will be sort of left in the same mindset that the character is, which is a moment of discovery. I know I'm being a little bit vague. I don't want to spoil the ending.
I know. I don't want you to. I don't want you to, of course. But I do want to ask you both what you discovered about memory and about yourselves in creating this work. And just remind me the title, because it cut out before. Speed Kills.
Speed Kills in the Slaughter West.
In the Slaughter
West.
Got it. And is that a location, Slaughter West?
It's not a there's a road in Austin called Slaughter West, which is stuck with me. The way that I create titles and imagery is I just drive around and walk around and take notes, and the title for this play emerged from just my travels around the Central Texas area. Those are some phrases that I saw out in the wild, and I thought combining them would create something evocative.
Well, you guys are sort of evolving the playlist as it happens, because you keep talking about Texas. So I think the way that I do, I'm a writer as well, and I play music from all decades and genres, but the way that I playlist is that I connect the tracks, a word in either the title, the artist, or the album name. So we went from Youth, I think it's Asgayar is how you say the artist name from the Bury the Moon record. Then we played Sail to the Moon from Hail to the Thief. So then we're going to go to Nick Drake's Pink Moon record and play Things Behind the Sun. But I might even just hop over and play Kruongbin and Leon Bridges' Texas Sun in your honor. Ooh. But before I do that, I wanted to just ask, Ryan, are you based in Texas? And then is that also where you're based, Ariana? Because I wanted to explore the idea of travel in right now.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I am currently, I guess, say that I am based in Texas. I've been in Texas since the pandemic began. And I was born and raised in Texas, where my family is and where I'm from. I grew up south of Houston, in the suburbs of Houston. So just about, I want to say, like 90 minutes from the coast.
Very cool.
I will be wandering back to the East Coast at some point in the next few months.
Well, we'll be excited to have you. And Ariana, what about you?
Well, I've never been to Texas. I'm based in Brooklyn.
So coming out to Guildhall, you know, you didn't have to get on a plane. That's a good thing.
No. This is all very last minute. Like, thankfully, I think that's the only way it would have worked, because it was like, oh, can you get here? Yeah, you know, tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. You know?
Yes, I can. All right. And so, thoughts? I mean, was this your first time out here, or, you know, have you come out here a bit?
I love it out there. We've been going out to the North Fork the past few years, maybe 5 years in the summer, just my partner and I, and I love it. I've never performed out there. I'd never been to Guildhall. It's always just been a place where I can, you know, drink wine and eat great food.
Yeah. Think your thoughts. Well, it's a pleasure. We are a fan of both forks here on the show, and very big fans of yours already without even seeing the work yet. The play is called Speed Kills in the Slaughter West, and it is premiering at it's streaming on YouTube. You can find out more information on the Guildhall website, guildhall.org. Big, big thanks to Anthony Madonna, Ryan Campbell, and Ariana Venturi for joining us on the Hot Studio segment of the Heart of the East End. I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day. Anthony, is there anything that you want to say before we go? And, you know, I can't wait to have you all here in the studio in the flesh one of these days when it is safe to do so.
Yes, I can't wait to see you again, Donna. But just thank you for having us on today. thank you for Ryan and Ari for sharing your thoughts and your time. And we hope you all join us on Saturday night at 7 p.m.
We'll be back. You're listening to WLIWFM, the heart of the East End. This is Kurongbin and Leon Bridges' Texas Sun. You just heard from Anthony Madonna, Ryan Campbell, and Ariana Venturi. I'm Gianna Volpe, and you, whoever you are out there, you're awesome, and you're listening to NPR Radio. WLIWFM, 88.3 on the FM dial, WLIW.org/radio, online, and however you stream radio.
You say you like the wind blowing through your hair. Well, come on, roll with me till the sun goes down. Texas sun. Say you wanna hit the highway while the engine roars. Well, come on, roll with me till the sun goes down. Texas sun, oh yeah. Texas sun, caressing you from Fort Worth to Amarillo. Well, come on, roll with me to the sun dips low. Texas sun. Texas sun, oh girl. Texas sun.